Navigating childhood can be difficult, all the more so when your parents have a volatile and sometimes violent relationship. We the Animals, an award winner at Sundance this year, opens today at the Angelica Film Center and the Landmark on West 57th Street. It tells the story of Manny, Joel, and Jonah, three brothers growing up in the midst of a sometimes loving, sometimes abusive marriage. The two older brothers are becoming more and more like their father. But Jonah, the youngest, is pensive and emotional and soon chooses to live in a world of his own making, leaving his unpredictable circumstances behind. Today, we're joined by director Jeremiah Zagar and actor Raul Castillo. You may know him from Looking on HBO. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So nice to have you here. Jeremiah, I want to start by asking you about the three young boys who portray Manny, Joel, and Jonah. They just make the film. And at first I thought they were triplets because they looked so much alike and acted so much alike. How did you find them?
We saw over 1,000 young men. We had an amazing grassroots casting director named Marlena Scrobe. It's her birthday today. Shout out to Marlena if you're listening.
Happy birthday.
And she went across New York. She went to schools and parades and she would just approach people on the street. And when I would try and approach young mothers on the street with their children, they would be frightened. But with her, you know, you don't want some like weird.
And you needed old Puerto Rican boys?
No. We just needed boys that were of the right color tone, you know, skin tone. So like we were looking a lot for Puerto Rican young men, but one of them is not. Isaiah Christian is not a Puerto Rican. He is of mixed descent.
He plays the middle brother?
He plays the oldest brother.
Oh, the oldest. Okay.
So Josiah's Puerto Rican and Evan is Puerto Rican, and they're both from the Bronx.
And they're each a year apart. They're supposed to be brothers who are just,
and they are actually a year apart.
11, 12, and 10?
They are 10, 11, 12, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were literally 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm.
And what stood out for them when you were casting them?
Well, you see 1,000 kids. When one stands out, they really stand out. I mean, like, it was undeniable how amazing they were. Like, I think Josiah was I think I saw today he was 233 or something, and he was the first one we cast, and he just blew my mind. He attacked me. He attacked me in the audition. He was incredible.
Physically,
yeah. Oh. He beat the crap out of me.
And I was wanted like, that.
Oh, I was like, this kid is the right kid.
And you had them work with a coach, I heard, to do exercises to make them feel like brothers and to also be with the parents.
Yeah. So Noelle Gentile, she came down. She works in Albany, and she works with kids, young kids. And she's an amazing teacher and an amazing actor. And she came and she would walk them through the process, how to get into character, what the acting process was all about, because they'd never acted.
None of them did.
Never.
Yeah. You wanted that deliberately? You didn't want anyone who had acted?
Yeah, and we'd seen young children who were professional actors or quote-unquote professional actors, and it was really the wrong vibe. I mean, it was just really off. I mean, they have this training that teaches them to be exacting. Mm-hmm. And what we wanted was the opposite of exacting. What we wanted was free-flowing, natural, alive, volatile young men. And that's what we found.
And how did you get them to be like brothers and have that volatile, free-flowing relationship?
So the being like brothers took place over time. So what we would do is we would never give them the script. We just rehearsed the scenes as if they were scenarios. And so they would improv the scenes so they could be very loose and they could really get into enjoying the acting process. That's something that Noelle sort of instilled in them and walked them through, and she would make it alive and fresh for them every time. And then when we were on set, we would give them the scenes, and they would also watch Raul and Sheila, who were just like the most incredible actors. And I think they saw in them a seriousness and a process that they wanted to then emulate. And so like in the beginning, they were kind of like all over the place, off the wall. And by the end, they were doing exactly what Raul and Sheila did. They put on headphones and be like, I have to get into my space. And, excuse me.
I need my trailer.
Exactly. There were no trailers, unfortunately.
Raul, you play their father. And so what was it like working with children? I don't know if you have any children of your own.
I don't.
So what was it like to get yourself into character to play their father?
I mean, I think I have that fatherly bone in my body, so I think I it was nice to get to play at it for a little while. But Sheila and I always spoke about how they kept us honest, and there was an honesty and rawness to their performance. They really listened and responded, which is I think what you need as an actor, to be able to be in the moment. And they already have that. I think children have such an incredible capacity for imagination. And as adult actors, it's something that we're always trying to get back to, that childhood ability to imagine yourself in these like given circumstances. They already do that when they're playing, you know, this, so they constantly, I think we were, they kept us on our toes. I'll put it that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I got an example?
Well, it's funny because we actually, before we started shooting, we spent a night in the house that the family lives in, the three boys, Sheila and I, Jeremiah and Zach Mulligan, our DP. And, you know, the point was to kind of improvise and
practice being a family.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a meltdown. The boys had like, there was a mutiny, like, you know, there was a fight. There was a whole, you know, it was like a, but it I think it brought us closer. It was really, and Jeremiah was really intent on making this film very specifically, like with non-actors and bringing them in to and making it a process that was unique. And I think that it shows on screen because you don't ever get to do that on film. No one ever like plays or rehearses or, you know, spends time before building a chemistry. You're just thrown into the thing.
Right.
We spent a lot of time together before we even landed in Utica, New York, where we shot the film.
I'm WNYC reporter Beth Fertig. This is Midday, and I'm speaking with director Jeremiah Zagar about his new film, We the Animals, and actor Raul Castillo. This film has some tough subject matter, though, for three young actors. There's violence. They witness their parents having some tough disputes. There's also sexuality. So how do you handle that with three young boys who have never even been actors before? How did you get them prepared for all that?
Well, they're incredible young men, first of all, and that's a testament to how incredible their parents are.
Mm.
So, you know, in order to make a movie like this that's so sexually explicit and so intense in terms of its themes, you need parents that are willing to trust you and willing to synthesize the material for their children. And on top of that, we had Noelle, who then was able to...
The person working with the kids.
Yeah, she was the acting coach, and she was able to talk about the book. I mean, the book is a masterpiece, and she was able to talk about the book, which is semi-autobiographical, in a way that made sense for the kids in terms of the honor that they were being bestowed of bringing this book to life. And they took that very seriously.
Talk about the book. You chose to base it on a semi-autobiographical work of fiction. What drew you to it, We the Animals?
Well, I mean, you read the first page of We the Animals and you are immediately drawn to it. I don't know anybody who's not. I mean, it's like I picked it up in a bookstore and it was just on the We Recommend pile. It was at McNally Jackson right down the street. And I read the first line and I was like, I have to read this entire book. And I, you know, brought it to the cafe and read it without paying for it. And then I paid for it. And then I bought more of them. And I
gave
them.
And who's the author?
Justin Torres.
And he is?
So Justin Torres is a friend now, and he's the author of the book. And he's just a brilliant, brilliant writer. He's written a lot of editorials that you may have written. He wrote a beautiful editorial after Orlando that is like, should be required reading. And I brought the idea of making the movie to him, and we talked it through, and he got excited. And one of the things we talked about was that he would be part of the process throughout. So he was on set the entire time, and he read every draft of the script, and he was in the editing room for the whole thing. You know, that's what gives the movie its authenticity, is his relationship to us.
And you're a documentary maker. This was your first feature?
Yeah.
So how did you incorporate your documentary style into this? Because it does not feel like a traditional feature. There's something kind of like you're watching this family. There's something a little, I don't know, voyeuristic about it. Is that what you were deliberately going for?
Well, I think what unites my documentary work and this film is a sense of intimacy. When I do documentaries, I like to call it a campfire feeling. You know, like when you're around a campfire and you just suddenly are willing to talk about things you wouldn't normally talk about and act in a way that's much more intimate than normal.
Yeah.
So what we tried to do is create an environment where the actors could be that way and the cinematographer could be that way and I could be that way, that we were all like a family. It wasn't just that this family was a family. The whole group was a family, and we were going to be more intimate, and we were going to do more dangerous things, and we were going to be safe doing them than, you know, ever before. That was really the goal.
Well, you do feel like you are watching a real family. Raul, our listeners may know you from Looking. And in this, you were Jonathan Groff's boyfriend in Looking. In this, you play a character who doesn't treat his wife very nicely sometimes, let's just say that. What was your relationship like with Sheila Vand, who plays your wife, mm-hmm. your people who, a couple who met very young in high school and had three kids and move upstate from New York City in this kind of isolated existence? What drew you to that role, and what did you think you could bring to that?
Well, I remember when I actually read with Sheila when she auditioned for the role of Ma, we read here in New York, and there's a, Sheila's very petite, and she's sort of, it's sort of easy for me to envelop her, which if you read the novel, there's mention of these characters' physicality and mm-hmm. Pops' muscles, his musculature, and Mom's frailty. And she had this frailty to her that was innate, but she also can bring it, and she can lash out at me, and she brings this sort of like raw, she's like a raw nerve almost. And so she could be frail, but she can also be explosive. And that was something for me when she was auditioning, it was so exciting because it gave me something to do. I had to contain her. I had to, you know, we had a great time working on it. We stayed together while we lived together essentially when we were shooting the film. And we spent a lot of time just after the fact, just decompressing on the couch, just watching movies after.
When you're fighting these, when you're having these fighting scenes, mm-hmm. though, in front of children, did you ever feel like, oh my God, I don't know if I want these kids to see this, or did it feel
no,
like,
the kids
no,
loved it. Oh man.
They did?
Yeah, they love watching Sheila go off on me. And, they enjoyed it. Sheila and I had a great, we trusted each other. We had a real great bond. So I was like, just go off. Like, you could do whatever you want to me. I know that I'm safe, whatever.
And you see that because at one point the kids attack you.
Yeah,
they get
mad
at their dad they just like explode on you.
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you feel like that was a victory that they could get that angry at you?
Yeah, I remember Jeremiah really pushing them because they didn't want to hit me at first. They were so affectionate with me, and they're such great kids that it was counterintuitive for them to slap me, but I talked to them and Jeremiah talked to them. We were like, Raul's fine. He's not gonna, you're not gonna hurt him. Just go, you know, go at him. And they did. And you know,
how many takes did it take?
I'll tell you that at first. So when they first,
he probably got a little bruised.
Well, when they laid into him the first time, I didn't know if Raul was acting or not. He was like screaming, and I was like, oh my God, is this actually hurting? Is it not? And Raul was like, this is way too painful. Like they got to a place what was like frightening even for us. And then Raul was like, we're gonna put a pillow here later, right, when we shoot the reverse. And we did. We shot the, you know, that's the beauty of filmmaking. You can shoot shot reverse shots. Yeah. So you could create moments where Raul wasn't getting beaten so badly.
Let's talk about a more fantasy element of this film, which is the journal that the youngest boy works on. He's got this inner life of his own, and we see him hiding under his bed, keeping a journal by flashlight. And you illustrate that so beautifully. You got a real artist to come in and then animate. You actually animated it.
That's
during
right.
parts of the movie. What was that supposed to reveal about Jonah?
Well, I think we needed ways to get into Jonah's psyche. So the book is told in first person, and we had a real problem in the edit. We edited over a year, and Keiko and I, we were about halfway through cutting. Keiko's my editor, Keiko Deguchi, and she's such a wonderful, amazing person. And she goes through these battles with me as we're, you know, creating this thing. And we couldn't get into his head. And we were like, how do we get into this boy's head? How do we get into this boy's head? And he had kept this journal that Mark Samsonovich, who's a wonderful illustrator, had created, but it wasn't coming alive for us. Like, you didn't understand what he
it's
was
static
seeing.
If you're just looking at a journal.
That's right. And so we sort of took this style of Czech animation where they use photocopies, and we sort of morphed it into the journal. And the movie is very textural. It's shot on 16mm, and you can really see the grain moving. And we wanted to create an animation style that had this similar feeling. So the paper moves, and it becomes sort of grain, like as if it's film grain, and you can kind of see everything moving and coming to life in Jonah's mind. And it's interpretive. It's what he is thinking.
Because he doesn't have a lot of dialogue.
And it's not literal. Yeah.
You're seeing his beautiful green-blue eyes, and he's got this, you know, look about him, but
he's like a
mysterious
silent film star.
Yeah, so that journal must mean a lot. You know, there were scenes where I wasn't really sure if what I was seeing was happening, like them beating up Raul, or if that was a fantasy, and so the journal is...
Yeah. Well, the whole film is a fever dream.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's supposed to be kind of a memory of a dream in a weird way. You know, it's like you're watching this thing and you understand it's about someone processing their past. And so things are real and they're also not. You know what I mean? It's both in the way that memory is.
This film's getting a lot of positive attention. I mentioned you were a Sundance winner. Did you ever expect that it would have such an impact or get such well, be so well received?
I never thought about it really. I only, you're kind of like, as a filmmaker, you're kind of just a soldier. You just kind of like, it's like you're going into battle and you just like move forward like with blinders on and you just hope that the world will receive it the way, with the love that you have for the project. And that's all you can do.
Why do you think people are responding though, Raul?
I think it's a pretty universal story at the end of the day. I mean, I'm a straight guy and I read the novel. There's an element of boy discovering his queerness in the narrative. And that touched me. I mean, I was a sensitive kid growing up in a pretty rural part of the country. And that sensitivity wasn't always that accepted or that well received. And I was really moved by the book itself. And I knew that if Jeremiah stayed loyal to the book, that we would be in good, you know, we would be well off, I think. But
it's an outsider story.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it touched me from the get-go. I mean, I was really touched by Jonah's story, but I knew that Pops, I've known Pops in my life. I've known guys
Jonah's
like
dad.
Yeah, Jonah's dad. I've known people like him. And I thought that Justin sort of, while he does these brutal things, that I thought that Justin really captured this character, but with compassion.
Right. You see how much he loves his children.
That's right.
He's not just a bad guy.
That's right. That's right. And it was a complex portrait of masculinity that we don't see often. It's usually these glorified versions of what masculinity is or wants to be, but it's not. This Justin's novel really spoke to a truth, I think, to a lot of truths. So
great. Well, thank you both. What's next for each of you?
So I have a company called Public Record, and there's five other directors in the company, and Jeremy Yock is my producer. It's our company together, and we're producing tons of stuff. There's TV shows and commercials and other movies, and the goal is to keep working with the people that we love working with. So, you know, with all the people that we worked with on this film and on others, you know, it's like, I want to keep working with Justin and Raul and Sheila and all the people that, you know, and these boys, like I want to, you know, have a place where, you know,
do you think the boys want to keep working as actors now?
Oh, yeah. Very much. Very, very much. Yeah.
And they got the bug.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're so into it and they're so exciting to watch. Do Q&As. So if you get out this weekend to come to one of the theaters, they're doing Q&As and they are electric kids. They're so fun.
They're not jaded yet.
No, and I think they have such amazing parents that won't happen.
All right. And Raul, what's next for you?
I have a film at LA Film Festival next month called El Chicano. That's a Latino superhero East LA film that I'm really proud about. And I'm excited about that film. And I'm also going on to the second season of a show called Vida that's written by Tanya Saracho, who's a showrunner on that show. And she was a writer on Looking as well.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. I'm Beth Fertig. I've been speaking with director Jeremiah Zagar about his new film, We the Animals, and Raul Castillo, who stars in it.